Joe Crack the Dawn, First up in Hey Joe is about football start times. I'm just kidding. It's from Blanton on Twitter. Hey Joe, when the Cowboys lost last night, did all the Lakers, Yankees, and Duke fans across the globe all feel pain like a disturbance in the force? Nice.
It's a rough day. Rough weekend, really, because when you throw the Lakers in, man, it's been a rough go for the supposed front-running fan bases.
Well, don't forget Alabama football.
Mm. Yeah.
They lost in the championship game.
Can we have an honest conversation about Dallas Cowboy fans, though? Because if you're still a Dallas Cowboys fan now, I mean,
depending on your age too.
Yeah. Like if you've, because the Cowboys in my lifetime have always been, you know, they're viewed as America's team and everything else, and they've always been associated with front running bandwagon fans, and they did. I mean, brilliant of CBS as the game was coming to a close. They panned to all these people in the stands, including this one couple that was just chef's kiss of sadness, right? And some of it was like, you know, what you would associate as like the stereotypical Cowboys fan. There was one image that was making the round that cracked me up, like a Cowboys starter pack, Cowboys fan starter pack, where you're wearing, you know, an Emmitt Smith jersey, carpenter jean shorts that have a little fade to them, and probably some white Air Force Ones, right? And sure enough, like they were panning some of those photos, I'm like, yup, there's that Cowboy fan that we associate, right? Because I think like every fan base has a fan that we associate to look like. This was going on during the college football championship game, where Georgia fan really comes in like three flavors. Like the adults who still dress like they're in college, like Kirby Smart with the visor and all that stuff. Like that sort of stuff. So yeah, it was funny to see all that stuff with the Cowboys fans. But really, credit to Cowboys fans, man, because you have set yourself up for disappointment year in, year out, as long as Jerry Jones is the owner.
Yeah, it's been since 95, since Super Bowl XXX.
Yeah.
Since they won the whole thing, man. So, yeah, props. If you are a Cowboys fan, I got to say, I'm with you. I mean, the Yankees won in 09. I mean, that's getting a little bit long in the tooth. The Lakers won in 20. Alabama wins every other year or two every 3 years. So, I don't know.
Next up.
So set him up, Joe.
Next up from Steve on Twitter. Hey, Joe, do you think that quarterback run that ended the game for Dallas finally gets Tony Romo off the hook for the dumbest playoff finish?
Oh, what was that, the 2006 wild card loss where he fumbled the field goal snap?
Yeah, that wasn't dumb. That was just an error. That was a mistake.
Yeah. That's not on the same level. It was dumb that he was sitting there holding the snap.
But that's not the dumbest.
Not the dumbest.
No, Darrell Bevell gets the dumbest for the Super Bowl, not running the ball to Marshawn Lynch. That was the Super Bowl. These are just the playoffs.
Next up.
Did you see that Darrell Bevell was being interviewed by the Jaguars to be the full-time coach? Do you know what the Jaguars need not to do?
Why would they do that to Trevor Lawrence?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
That's got to go down in history as just the worst, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh. Poor Russ. Next up from Steve on Twitter. I'm sorry. Actually, that's from Hank on Twitter. Hey, Joe, is Josh Pastner working a bit on everyone, or is that who he is?
No, he's leaning in. I mean, yeah.
Josh Pastner, the Georgia Tech head basketball coach. Yeah, I'm with you, Julio. I think he's kind of – he knows he has a shtick. He's probably the most memeable coach in an era where being memed is like an economy of clout. So Josh, I think, knows that it gets him noticed on the internet. It puts Georgia Tech in a position to be talked about, so he leans into it. So why are we talking about Josh Pastner today? Well, after they got beat by North Carolina, they got swept in the series this season in Chapel Hill on Saturday night. Josh Pastner went on the ACC teleconference and talked about how North Carolina, not only should they be ranked, but he said they're a Final Four team.
For anyone who's not putting Carolina as a potential Final Four type of team, I think they're really good. I said it in the ACC media day, there's two teams I didn't think people were talking enough about was North Carolina and Notre Dame. I was saying that all along in the ACC media day. I think North Carolina is really good.
He went on to talk about the pimple on his forehead and everything else.
Figured we could avoid that.
North Carolina is not a Final Four team, but I do feel like this week is the week we're all looking for as it relates to North Carolina to prove it. I mean, they've got some nice pieces. Armando Bacot continues to have a really great season. And Hubert Davis has said himself that he's done talking about effort and understanding what you need to do on defense. It's more of a prove it week with road games at Wake Forest and Miami this week.
Yeah, I think Hubert Davis, you know, talking about Bacot being the player of the year and Leaky Black as the defensive player of the year, he's trying to promote his program. I don't have any problems with Hubert Davis promoting Carolina. Actually, I mean, Pastner, they just got whipped twice, right? So yeah. It's hard not to be impressed when you see Carolina's fastball. So I'm not going to blame him for that. But you do kind of have to look around at the rest of college basketball. Like I said, there's probably five or six teams out there where you're like, oh, okay, they look a little bit different. I do think Duke is one of those teams.
Yeah, Duke is one of those teams. And what's interesting about Armando Bacot and what you're referencing. So Bacot, Hubert Davis said that he was the ACC player of the year. Like, the end. There was no discussion. And I was thinking,
he's definitely played like at the last two games for sure.
He has. This is not me telling anybody that Armando Bacot has not been playing at a high level. He has been. Hard stop. But to say in the middle of January that he's the ACC player of the year, end of discussion. I almost wondered if Hubert Davis randomly slipped back into ESPN College game day mode. And he was having a debate with Jay Billis or something like that. Like I thought it was really curious. But yeah, he's promoting the program. He's promoting his guy. No, I mean, I think Paolo Banchero is the ACC player of the year as things continue. Our guy, JC, I saw him at the State Duke game. And as we were waiting for the coaches to talk, you know, he just kind of joked. He's like, if Paolo Banchero is not the ACC player of the year, that's an indication that media members simply got bored with what that guy's doing night in, night out. Next up.
Oh, no, Joe.
Next up from James on Twitter. Hey, Joe, has a successful women's college basketball coach ever made the jump to the men's game? Just curious for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Come on, guys. Come on.
Oh, I get what he's referencing.
You don't need to insult. That's like doubly insulting to the women's team and the men's team over at NC State. Come on now. Or what Westmore is doing. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe you mean it as a compliment, but come on. Yeah. So I understand the level of NC State fan frustration. But what I don't understand is why you're choosing the Duke game as like this. Ah, this team. I can't with this team. That's the game you want to base that off of? That's not a bad loss. You went to Cameron Indoor Stadium against a loaded Duke team. Against a coach you never beat in Durham. A team that's probably going to go to the Final Four, barring health, something catastrophic. Like, that's not the game you point to and go, I'm out. This makes no sense to me.
Yeah, State fans are down on Kevin Keats in the next four games, Joe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're all tossing.
They got Virginia Tech back at home. They just beat Virginia Tech. It's going to be hard to beat them for the second time. They play Virginia, who they've traditionally had issues with. Then it's to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's been a completely different team at home. And then it's at Carolina to close out January. That's, again, Carolina with Bacot. That's a tough matchup for them and their other bigs. Like, Carolina's got three legitimate bigs that they can put, and two of them face the basket. So Seabron can guard one of them. Mm-hmm. But that's a tough matchup for State.
I asked Kevin Keats, the NC State head coach, after the Duke State game about, there's no question about the team's compete level. They'll fight. They don't quit. Even in the Duke game, when they were getting demoralized with dunks and blocks by Mark Williams and Paolo Banchero, they still plugged away and made that a single-digit game. Even though they weren't going to come out with a win, they still found a way to make it somewhat interesting with about 2 minutes to go, right? And it's like, all right, the team clearly competes. So how do you get them to make the right decisions? How do you get them to play more cohesively on defense and those types of things? And the answer, I'm paraphrasing here, it's basically gelling, getting more comfortable with each other and whatnot. You know, Manny Bates' injury at this point can't really be used anymore as they've kind of shuffled through his possible replacements. But again, I come back to one real simple thing. That's not a game I'm making any sweeping statements related to NC State. What you mentioned, Jillio, the next slate of games, which I don't have KenPom in front of me, but I'm guessing they're not factored to win any of those games going forward.
They have Virginia at home. KenPom has it 54% in State's favor.
Interesting. All right, next up.
Next up, from Bob on Twitter. Hey, Joe, what would the name of Joe Giglio's burner account be?
Have you ever created a burner account, Joe?
No. I have a second account, the Yellow Pad Stats.
Yeah, that's not a burner account. That's not a burner account.
Right, because I'm identified on it. Yeah. What would my burner account be?
My question is, if you say you don't have a burner account, does that mean you have one?
No. What's the fake uncle name that you use?
Oh, Nunzio.
That would be your burner account.
Yeah.
Old Uncle Nunzio. That'd be your burner account. No, I've actually I don't have a burner account. I mean, I got my Twitter account back in the day when I would get on message boards, which I don't do anymore. But back in the day when I got on message boards, I would include my last name in the username. So yeah, there's no burner accounts. I mean, I'm on. Maybe we should start one.
That feels like work, man.
Everything feels like work. I did create a fake old Ross Hadburn like ACC media guy account, like as a bit. But it wasn't meant to be like, you know, pumping up the show or getting at people through the burner. Anyway, no, I have not created a burner account. All right, next up.
Don't burner accounts just pretty much get you in trouble? Like the Sixers GM and Kevin Durant and...
Yeah. And Durant's liberated. He doesn't care anymore. It's great that he got exposed on the burner account thing so that now he just is going after people on social media. I think it's funny.
I just don't know the payoff on this one is what I'm getting at.
I don't know.
I could spar with you? Is this what I need the burner account for?
Well, but that's the thing I don't understand. You can spar with me now.
Right.
But I guess with the burner account, you do it so that you can get like extra mean with it if you want to. You could say the things on the burner account that you could never say to me in person because you're too weak to do it.
Got it. Noted.
basically, as the kids would say, Twitter fingers.
Ooh. Nice. Last up from Gary. I think this is for you, Ovius. Hey, Joe, aren't hydro flasks just adult sippy cups?
It's an excellent question. I mean, if you think about it, all of those water bottles that we use really are glorified sippy cups, are they not? I mean, they come with straws. They're sealed tight. They're not supposed to spill. So why don't we just call them sippy cups? Why do we got to give them fancy names?
Coming up next on the OG, you can win your very own sippy cup. Just doesn't sound the same.
Right. An Arctic tumbler with the fan logo on it.
That sounds adult.
That sounds like something that I want. Now, I believe I got asked this question, and Jilly, I'm going to have to bounce this off of you because you have the closest comparison here. You have a soon-to-be 14-year-old and a soon-to-be 17-year-old, right?
Yes.
Do they still spill crap all the time?
Yes. And leave like, stuff all over the place. Yes.
It's not the leaving part that gets me.
Okay.
That I can handle the leaving stuff because, you know, pot kettle. All right.
Okay.
I can't handle
the leaving thing because it makes me think what's gonna happen when they're on their own. Right? Like I'm gonna go to their apartment or their house and I'm gonna be picking crap up for the rest of my life. That's my concern.
No, it's their house, though. At that point, you let them. If that's how they want their house, that's how you let them have their house. If
have you met me?
Yeah, that is true.
I will struggle.
Well, that's funny. Well, I guess your house is different from your cubicle area.
Yes.
Because your cubicle area is a mess.
It is. But those are snacks. Those aren't unkempt snacks.
Gotcha.
They're contained.
So I don't have a problem with stacking cups on the counter because my kids sometimes feel like a cup is a one-use thing. I got water out of it. I put it on the counter, and then I go get another cup when I come back to get another drink of water rather than just reusing the cup. Whatever. No, it's the spilling part that's getting me. And I will admit that I snapped over the weekend, and it happened again today, but I snapped over the weekend because my kids have this tendency to fill up glasses all the way to the brim. And then they wonder why stuff spills out onto the floor. We're talking lemonade, orange juice, milk. It's like, y'all, there's no rule that states you have to fill up the cup all the way. Leave yourself some room. Otherwise, you're going to make a mess. And then there's the random knockovers and things like that. And it was not a great moment. It was a moment of anger that got to me. And I yelled at them. I'm like, I'm going to go in the attic and I'm going to find you your toddler sippy cups. And that's all you're going to drink from here on out until you move out.
Wait, you kept the sippy cups?
I've kept some sippy cups, yeah. Dude, I hoard things.
You get that from dad, right?
Why? What's that?
You get that from your dad, right?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
Like, why would you keep the sippy cups, though?
Sentimental value.
I mean, I could see one. Like, if there was one that Jacob or Caleb, like, had an attachment to, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. We still have onesies and some pajamas that they wore and some other clothes. Let's be clear. But the sippy cups, Joe, and Thomas the Train. We got all the trains, man.
No, hold on a second. The Thomas the Trains you keep because those things hold value.
You told me this. You told me.
All right.
Yes.
Those things hold value. My dad kept my pacifiers. So when we had our first kid, he like brought me my old pacifiers. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm not giving him this old grody pacifier.
Not sure where to go with that,
John. I'm just saying. My dad even has, at one point in time, I had a rat tail haircut. I had a mullet. I had a mullet at one point, too, because it was the 80s, right? But also, at one point, I had a rat tail.
Do we have pictures?
Oh, yeah.
No, he still has the rat tail is where he's going.
No, I don't. My dad still has, like, the rat tail somewhere in a Ziploc bag.
Oh, my gosh.
True story. Please, I'm not the only one. Hell, I am sure that we could open up the phone lines right now and ask the simple question, what's the most bizarre thing your parents have kept from you? Kept, you know, from your youth, right? And I'm not talking about like, oh, it's your first tooth or any of that stuff. And I'm sure that there are other things that people would surpass beyond my old rat tail. It's somewhere in a Ziploc bag somewhere.
That feels like a wager to me, but
you tell me. Oh, come on! You tell me that Lou and Nora don't have some weird thing from your youth still locked away somewhere.
I was the third, Joe.
Oh,
you
good
were the
point.
First.
Good point. Good point.
It does
not
make
only was I, not only was I the first, I was the only child
until my
brother came onto the scene as a huge surprise 16 years later. Just saying. Anyway. It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. Did I just wow you with that fun fact, Joe?
You did.
Yeah.
The pacifier, and then you're keeping the sippy cups.
Yeah, I have a couple of sippy cups. Maybe not in the attic. They're probably high in a pantry somewhere in the house. I still have their snack trap.
What is that?
You know, you put the Cheerios in the little container.
Oh, that's functional though.
But it has a like a little flap on it so that it doesn't spill out. You have to reach in.
Yeah, you should.
Those
bring
are
those
functional.
To work.
I keep those. Plus, you know, you have friends, they have kids later in life or something like that, and they come over and maybe they forgot to bring something in the go bag and you have it.
Yeah, we still have a couple of high chairs like that are accessible. Yes.
Yes. Always. That always comes through in the clutch.